From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Maloney, and this is Invest Insights. Every week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest-growing metro markets. Real leaders, real insights, right now. These are challenging times. The COVID-19 pandemic has tested our institutions, our businesses, and ourselves in ways many of us could have not predicted. When we started this podcast, we focused on crisis management as the pandemic raged. Season 2 was all about resilience in the face of uncertainty. And our new season will look at what has emerged as the dominating theme of the pandemic, transformation. From products and services and consumer relations to future plans and how these leaders themselves have personally transformed. We'll be going in depth to learn just how much our world has changed. Enjoy.
I'm joined today by Richard Phillips, the Dean and CV Star Professor of Risk Management and Insurance of J. Mack Robinson College of Business at Georgia State University. Welcome, Richard.
It's good to be here.
When we spoke with you for our Focus Atlanta report, you remarked that the pandemic vastly accelerated a digital transformation that business schools had already started to undergo. While the transformation is ultimately a benefit to your operations, rapid transformation also comes with its challenges and its pitfalls. What have been some of the most glaring challenges of adapting to this rapid transformation?
That's a great question, Andy. You know, in our context, the biggest challenge is getting out of the crisis mode, where there's an immediate sense of camaraderie and the community coming together. Everybody's a little bit scared, a lot anxious, and, you know, they're almost willing to do anything to make it right, right? How do we better serve our students? Our students are scared. There's, you know, we have a new virus that's in the community. And so last spring, you just saw this coming together of faculty and staff and with laser focus on how do we best serve in this moment. Maintaining that level of commitment and fervor, that's really tough. I mean, people get tired. Their own personal circumstances start to creep back into their minds, their families, what they're worried. They may have older parents. They have children that are going to, you know, back to school in the fall, and now they're worried about them as much as they are about at the job. And yet at the same time, we're still going through a rapid transformation, right? We learned some things in April and when we made the pivot, but there's still a lot more to learn and what steady state behavior is going to look like. And of course, the virus was changing too. In the southeast of the United States, you know, we had a second spike here in August and September, and then it kind of waned a little bit. And then as we got further into November, December, it got worse again. So as behaviors change, as the external environment changes, as you're continually asking faculty and staff to do new things and work in different ways, I would say one of the biggest challenges is how do you maintain that energy level to be able to go through this. And as a leader, how is it that you know when to push and to nudge and when to back off and have empathy? Those are challenging for the people that are on the ground, and it's a challenge for leadership too to understand and get a pulse for, you know, how much can you push the organization and how much do you need to say, hey, we're not going to be able to do everything we wanted to do, and that's okay. In this moment.
And to that, how has your leadership style transformed this past year?
Yeah, I would say the engagement with individuals kind of in where they are in that moment. If you ever needed empathy as a leader, a servant leader, you needed it in extraordinary amounts now. And so I think my one way has changed is by even more so than ever, being a good listener, making sure you really understand what it is that people are going through. I think the other thing that I would say that's changed is there are stances that I might have taken before. So no, I'm going to push back on that. That's not something we do here. And in these moments, I think you need to be a little more adaptive, and you need to be more adaptive in the moment. We had a student who filed a petition in an online format and got 400 or 500 other students to you know, to sign on to that petition for something that they were, that they had a perception about. And, you know, rather than let the faculty member and maybe one of my associate deans handle it, I decided this is something in this moment I need to engage. And because there's a lot of tension in the room and people are, how do we diffuse this and ask people to just take a step back and remember that professors want students to succeed. Students want to succeed. They're not out to get professors. Everybody just needs to remember that in this moment and come together and how do we move forward collaboratively. So I think there's been a lot more of just that kind of engagement in my leadership style this year than I probably had to do in the past.
Sure. While many higher education institutions are reeling from significant drop-offs in enrollment, the Robinson College of Business enrolled their largest ever classes of incoming graduates and undergraduate students in fall of 2020. Why do you believe the business school has been so successful in this regard despite this turbulent landscape?
Yeah, it's several responses to that, some which are marketplace oriented, some which are idiosyncratic to us. Graduate business schools tend to be a little counter-cyclical. When the economy is hot, people are getting their promotions, when they're busy, their opportunity cost of going back to school in that moment or the opportunity cost of even time to study and do something else is pretty high. And so they're not real excited about doing that. And so when we see a really hot economy, it tends to reduce the number of applicants we get, the number of students that enroll. The opposite happens during a recession. If I'm not seeing that next career jump, if I'm worried about the industry that I'm in, and my opportunity cost of time is low. It's like if I'm not in school and I'm going to be sitting at home, you know, watching television. So these are great times for people to engage and retool in themselves, build their human capital, and position themselves for when the economy does come back, that they're ready to run with it. This is a great example of that because everyone is talking about in the post-COVID world and the next normal that's coming, that being ready with your digital skills to be able to navigate that world that's is about to embark on us is going to be a different set of skills and a different set of knowledge that you're going to need to know. So coming back to school in this moment is a great one. So that's one reason. But we've certainly outperformed the industry as well. So I think part of that is where we're located in Atlanta. Part of that is our price point relative to our major competitors in this region is a very attractive return for a lot of people. Part of it is the positioning of our college. In the last 5 years, we've been engaging strategic plan where we said we wanted to be profoundly relevant to students and companies who are in the midst of the digital revolution. And we've been building that brand and building that positioning for the last 5 years. Well, in a COVID world where everybody thinks that's going to be an inflection point on the installation of those technologies, we've now built that reputation and are taking advantage of that. I think the last thing I would say here is, this is just some of the dynamics of Atlanta, but the core of Atlanta is regentrifying some of its inner city neighborhoods. And about 18 months ago, we decided that we would upgrade one of our teaching facilities in our downtown campus where we haven't been teaching as much graduate education. We've been mostly focused on a little bit outside of the downtown area in a neighborhood called the Buckhead Financial District here. And so we invested in downtown again, thinking that eventually this would be a growth market for new graduate students. And as we did that, we installed what we think is one of the most advanced digital education platforms of any school in this region, and we branded it Robinson Anywhere. We quite literally launched that on April 1st. And Robinson Anywhere allows you to, in a simulcast way, to choose how you want to consume the class every single day that we have a class. So if you're registered for class and you want to show up in person, that's fine. If you want to show up in a simulcast way from across town or across the country, that's fine too. It was about being anywhere and being able to gain access to class in a very high quality experience digitally. And we launched that 2 weeks into the pandemic. And that's really resonated with our marketplace, not just because of the convenience, but now it gave people agency over how risk averse they were relative to the virus. And the combination of those two things was just really, really powerful.
Yeah, you talked a lot about technology. My next question was, over the past year, how has technology permanently transformed and changed business school education? And how will these technologies and transformations ultimately prepare students for the digital economy? And it sounds like some of those were really already in the works prior to the pandemic, and they only became more profound this past year. Do you agree?
I do agree. Because I mean, that's been our entire positioning for the last 5 years, is that we're in this, and it's been going on for a number of years now, right? But we're in this unique era where there's this convergence of several technologies that are coming together with faster and faster computing speed. They're not just going to change the economy or how a few industries or how a few companies operate. But in our view, it's hard to imagine what society is going to look like in 20 years from today. You know, if you think about the advent of autonomous vehicles and artificial intelligence and all of the technologies that are coming, you know, how is that going to change the way we organize our cities? How is that going to change the way we live? How does that change the way we communicate with one another? We think all of those things are extraordinarily profound, and the opportunity for innovation to increase the quality of people's lives over the next couple of decades is extraordinary. That's what the message we want to give to students, that's who we're trying to attract, is those dreamers here to Robinson that want to get into an ecosystem that thinks that way. And you know, we're trying to prepare students for that world, giving them both that sense of awe of what's possible, but also the tools in order to be able to make it happen. So we've been headed this way in a while.
We've spoken a lot about transformations at the business school and through education, but this past year has also been personally transformative for many of us. How have you personally transformed after 2020?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I would say one, my investment proactively in managing my own, you know, mental and emotional self. Obviously, all of us do that throughout our lives. I think it's also been a moment to really, you know, if you're going to function well, do well, show up well here, this is not a time to be passive about that question. This is a time to be really proactive about it. And if you're a leader and you have to stand in front of 400 or 500 other people and give them optimism and hope and a steady hand, hey, I know it's a little crazy out there, but don't worry, we got this. And you know, remember who we are as a community. We're going to get through this together. Making sure that you're able to show up for that in that moment and be centered, be calm, be that steadying hand is really, really important. And so I think just my own work to, in some sense, learn to better manage myself, my own emotions, and how I show up is a really key part of making this happen. And making sure those that are closest to me on my leadership team, that we're all doing the same thing, right? Because the dean or, you know, the president of the university can only be in so many places. You really need a set of evangelists who are also showing up and leading their teams and doing their work with that same kind of commitment and spirit. And so it's a different set of conversations that you have to engage them. And when you engage those conversations, you learn more about them. And so I just think there's a level of professional intimacy, I guess, if you could call it that, that I think we're all now a little bit more comfortable with than we might have been, you know, a year ago. And it's a healthy thing. It's a good thing.
You have been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Malone. Thank you for tuning in.